Hi, I'm Kadri Uglas, and I am the CEO and co-founder of Game Founders. And Game Founders is a game accelerator. So we work with game studios all over the world. And I'll tell you a bit more about this in a few slides. So about myself, I am have been working with game studios since 2012 with Game Founders. And previously, I was working with startup companies, tech companies, and I was helping shape the startup ecosystem in Estonia through different initiatives. And I was also one of the founders of IGDA Estonia. So we are looking after the game industry in multiple countries. But speaking a bit about Game Founders, so Game Founders is, as I said, a startup accelerator. What it actually means is that we are looking for game studios from all over the world. We take them through an application process. We select the best 10, and these 10 are then flying over to wherever our hub is. So we used to have a hub in 2012 to 2014 in Estonia. And now in 2015, we moved to Asia to cater to the Asian market and have more contacts in Asia. So we are now working in Kuala Lumpur. And the best 10 companies then move to our hub and they get access to all of our network and they get access to mentors. So mentors come over and look at the game and give them feedback. They also do seminars, they do different workshops. And they just help the teams getting their game in a better shape and also helping their company grow. In addition to that, we do have partners that also help our teams. So the partners are different companies that give them either products or services on discounted prices or something, some other kind of special deals. We do playtest days, so we bring in people. And they play the games and give feedback on the games. So during this cycle, we have around maybe 5 or 6 playtest days. So you get a lot of feedback on your game and you know how to better develop it. We also have board meetings. So we use this time to help the teams figure out what they want to do and if they're on track with what they're doing. And we also have pitch days, which means that once a week we get all the teams together and everybody does a 3-minute pitch about their game or their company. And everybody else is, well, bitching about the pitch. And we are helping this way the teams to better express themselves and better find the strong points in their game and be able to present their game. We also have study trips, so we go visit studios that are already established and just to see how they're doing. And at the end of the program, we have demo days, which means that we have opportunities for the companies to go and meet either publishers or investors or user acquisition partners or whatever it is that they are looking for at that point. And for all that, we also do a small investment so that there are costs occurring together with the move. So these costs can be covered from that investment. And after the 3-month program is over, we have also a lot of follow-up things. So we have the alumni still has access to the whole network and to different mentors and to videos and presentations and everything that we have for all the other companies. So here you can see some of the companies that are our mentors. So you can see that they're from all different kinds of game studios, but also service providers and also publishers. And also you can see here our partners. So these are the partners that will give our teams special promotions or help them in some other way that they need. So, as to the topic of today's presentation, I'm going to talk about the main decisions or the aspects that need to be considered when you are choosing the right path for your game studio. So these are the things that in the accelerator we help the teams to figure out how to choose, how to balance, and how to operate in that condition. So the first point I wanted to touch was original IP or outsourcing. So this is a very, very strong issue for a lot of studios. So I think during the time in Game Founders, I've probably seen over 1,000 applications. And I would say the majority of them are doing some kind of outsource work on the side of their own IP. So usually what happens is that teams say that, we have this contract, we'll do this, we'll earn the money, and then we'll do our own game. But then the reality kicks in, and the next outsource contract comes in, and the next, and the next, and before you know it, you're doing outsource, and you can't really get out of the cycle. There are pros and cons for both ways, but as long as you know what you are deciding and you are doing it on purpose, then both decisions are actually fine. So if you are doing your own IP, you obviously have a lot more creative freedom because you are in charge of it and you are the team and you can decide which direction the game is going to. You have the possibility to earn more profits because you never know how big your game is going to be. And if you get the whole revenue of the game, then obviously there is more profits possibility. But also there's bigger risk. So what if your game flops? What if it doesn't really go as well as you planned? So these are the options you need to consider. But also for outsourcing, it's not your own IP, so you can't do whatever you want with it. So if you have a really good idea, you cannot just go and implement it. You first have to go to your partner, and then you have to get them to agree and like the idea, and then only you can implement it. Of course, you have a fixed amount of income, which can be good because you don't have to worry about the salaries for a number of months. You feel that it's a sort of like a secure situation. But in reality, it also means that you are capping your revenues. So basically, your maximum amount of profit that you can make is fixed, and there is no way that you can increase that. The next point is whether you want to be indie or do you want to scale up. Again, both options are okay, but know what you want to decide. So if you are indie, you are obviously doing the games that you like. You have more time on making your games. You are working probably with a bunch of friends and you have fun in your team and you are sort of what I would call a lifestyle business. So you like the game and you like coming to the office every day. And if you want to do it, you do it. If you don't want to do that game, you just select the next one. You don't really worry about the business model that much always. So it's a different kind of thing. If you decide that this is a business for you, then you need to spend less time. Of course, you'd have to do good games anyway, but you also need to spend a lot of time on management. Like, for instance, if people are raising money, it's almost like a full-time job for the CEO. So if your CEO is also your main programmer, then that might not be a good situation. So there are different things that you must think about. So when you're building your team, you need to think about, is it well presented to investors? So if you show that team, are they going to be impressed? So it's not really your friends that you can choose. You have to choose people who look also good on their team and who are able to allow the company to scale up. And also, if you are scaling up, you have to think about at some point your game is going to be sold or your company is going to be sold. So you have to consider that as well. So the next point that I want to touch is what is your strategy? So do you want to do you want to operate in blue or red ocean? So I'm not sure how much you know about this, but so the blue ocean strategy is going to a market that isn't really established. So the ocean is nice and blue, and you don't really have any competition. So as opposed to that, the red ocean is something. Somewhat of a different place. So it's a place where there's a lot of competition. So perhaps the ocean is red with blood. or just very busy. So these are the options as well. So what do you want to do? Do you want to go to the mobile market where the acquisition prices are rising and it's difficult to get noticed and it's difficult to figure out how the free-to-play model works? Or do you want to go to the blue ocean, maybe VR or NeuroGames or something that isn't really established as much? So perhaps you don't even know how you're making money, but at the same time, there aren't so many people there. So these are the things you should consider. So you want to go to the market where there's more money, but also more competition? Or do you want to go to the market where there is less money in terms of people spending money, and there is also not that much competition, but maybe in a few years, if you make your bets right, it might happen. So it would be good to have a strategy for your platforms and your business models, and to be able to figure out how you actually are going to grow and what's going to happen in the future. I also already touched upon this with the previous slide, but business models is the next topic. So, do you want to do free to play? Do you want to do premium? Do you want to do ad based? So, what do you want to do? So these options are always open to you. You are free to change your mind, but it's very difficult to take a premium game and make it free to play. That's really not how it works. If you want to do a free to play game, you have to start from the beginning and do it as free to play. And so let's see what are the pros and cons, let's say, of each of those ones. So if you do free to play, you can scale the game up to infinity almost, because there is really no cap on how much you can make. If you compare that to premium, of course, in premium, you take the number of games you sell times the price of the game, and that's your revenue. So that's it. But for free to play, you can add more objects, you can add more power-ups, you can add more content. And you can have the player play longer and also then possibly buy more. So this brings a totally different model of how you operate. So with premium, more or less the game is ready, you launch it and you're done. With free to play, the game is ready, you launch it, and then the work starts. So it turns into a service, and that is a very different thing than just building a game versus building a business and a service. Also, ads is something of a popular choice these days. You can, of course, combine the ads with free to play or with the premium models. So it's also one option how to go. But analyzing the business models and figuring out how you want to proceed with your game is a very important aspect of your studio's choices. So another one is who do you want as your partners? Do you want publishers? Do you want investors? Or do you want to do everything yourself? Again, all the choices are fine, but just try to think about a little bit like how do you grow and what are your goals, so as to see what is it that you should choose for your company. So if you go to publishers, you always need to remember that the game is important. It's more important than the team. So if the publishers make choices about who they work with, they always look at the game. If the investors look at it, they more look at a team, because publishers are with you for only one game. Investors are going to be with you until they exit, so for a very long time. And also look at what you are getting. From publishers, you are getting services in terms of marketing and launch and PR, but you're not necessarily getting money, because these days publishers don't really like to give out development funding. At the same time, from investors, you can get funding, but not really marketing services. You might get advice, of course, and contacts. So choose carefully who's your investor. Is it a strategic investor, so that you also get some sort of upside on your business? Or is it just a financial investor, like, I don't know, rich uncle or something, that will just purely give you money And all of these decisions will be with you for a long time, so be careful how you make them. Another aspect for publishers and investors is how they make money. So every time you enter into a partnership, think about what are they expecting to get out of it. And it's that way easier for you to also figure out what would be a good choice for you. So publishers obviously take revenue share. So if you are making money, they are making money. If you are not making money, they're not making money. So it's important for them to also contribute to the game. At the same time, if the game is not doing well, it's very easy for them to drop it and go to the next one that they have with another studio. And then for you, it is what it is. For investors, they take equity. So if one game doesn't fly, they expect you to do the next game and the next game and the next game. And also, if you are thinking about how do investors make money, so investors are not taking a share of your revenue. Investors are not taking any kind of operational money out from your company. Investors are expecting you to find the next investor who is bigger and richer and gives a higher valuation on your company, and then just sell their share. Which means that whenever you take on the investor, you have to think about your company is from that moment on for sale. So you have to be able to let go at some point, which also sort of ties in with the question of whether you want to be an indie or whether you want to scale up. So these were the main choices that I wanted to talk about. And when you are starting your game studio, it's very important to look at that. So I have also a few case studies to sort of illustrate the choices through the companies that have gone through our accelerator. And so the first one is Cupcake Entertainment from Brazil. And these guys have chosen to do their own original IP. And they're not doing outsource, but they're concentrating on their own IP. And they have a very specific strategy. They are doing free-to-play. And they have narrowed their market down into casual brain puzzle games. And it's a very specific target group, and it's a very specific market and very specific model, which makes it easier for them to make the next choices because there are only a number of partners and people who would be good for them to work with. So obviously they went to the existing market because their first launch was on Facebook, and now they're also on mobile. So both Facebook and mobile have been around for a long time. So obviously it's not a blue ocean strategy. And so they decided to do a portfolio of games. So they have actually two games on Facebook and currently one game on mobile, but it's soon going to be two games on mobile as well. So they have chosen to create a portfolio, which means that the company is more attractive to investors. And also create a team in a way that investors can see that this company wants to scale up, and they would be interested in that. So they're already looking for investors and have a few interested. So I would say that that defining their strategies quite clearly is what has helped them along quite fast. And I'm sure maybe by the time that that you are listening to this, they have already progressed a lot more. So I also have a small video of their game so that you can have an understanding of what they're doing. And the second case study is about BitCake Studio, also from Brazil. So if the first one, Cupcake Entertainment, was with us in Kuala Lumpur in 2015, Then Bitcake was our last cohort in Estonia in 2014. So they're also doing original IP, but they're not building a portfolio currently, but they're doing one game. So what they did was they really liked the game that they started with, and so they started building a community around it. So it's not only one game, but it's going to be something that has such a huge community of loyal players around it that it's more of the community that they're building than the portfolio. So they also went to the existing market. So they started with Facebook and web, and also they are working towards other platforms because it's real-time multiplayer on multi-platform, and they also have chosen the free-to-play model, which means that they have possibility of increasing their revenue to unlimited. And they have chosen to work with publishers, but they are working with publishers in a bit different way because they are carving out markets and platforms. So they have chosen to have different publishers for different regions and also different platforms, which means that they can actually have the best strategic partners and put them together in a sort of a dream team. Also showing a small video from them. So you can see from the video what kind of game it is. And actually now it's called Holodrive. So I'm sorry if the video is a bit old. And if they are watching, please go and look for the new video on their website. So the third one is Tiny Lab Productions from Lithuania. So it's a different continent now. They were with us in Estonia in 2013, I think. Yeah. So they have tried a lot of different things. So they did original IP, and they did a publishing deal with for one of their games. And they weren't. They felt that they learned enough from the publishing that the next time they wanted to publish something themselves. So right now they're actually not working with any publishers. They're not working with any investors, and they are only working on their own games. So how they are financing the development of their big strategy game is that they are building a lot of different small kids games that they're optimizing for ads, and they're making enough money to sustain a studio of 10 or more, and that's the strategy that works for them. So they are looking to scale with investors because they feel that they are now at the point where they can really maximize their skills, This is like a completely third kind of an option. So I have shown you studios that work with publishers, studios that work with investors, studios that work with none of the above, and also different kind of approaches of portfolio approach versus one game. And I would say all of the teams that I showed you are strong teams. So as as to illustrate my point, all decisions are good decisions as long as you make them with your eyes open. So I hope that I presented you with enough ideas to go and have good decisions about your game studio. So to finish up the video for the last game that Tiny Lab is currently producing. Yeah, so Game Founders is running two cohorts every year, which means that one in the first half of the year and second in the second half of the year. So to get into the accelerator, you need to apply online. So currently the applications are closed, but they will be opening in May. And then you can just go online and fill in the application form. So now there is some time to prepare. So I can say what we are looking for. We are looking for teams of two or more people. So one person team is not a team, it's one person. So we are expecting teams to scale up. So if you can't scale from one to two, then it's difficult for us to believe that you can scale further. And the team needs to have some kind of a product. So you don't have to have a super successful published product. But the more you have, the better, because we need to understand what is your perception of quality. So if you are showing us a game that is really high quality and we think it's high quality as well, then we can sort of have a proof of what your skill level is. And so the online applications are open twice a year. They're open for like 3 to 4 weeks. And after that, we do evaluation. So we do Skype interviews with the teams, and also we have our mentors and investors look at the teams and give feedback. And we do a bit of due diligence and background checking. And then we choose the teams at least 1 month before the program, so that there is 1 month sort of time to get everything organized before the program actually starts. I would say the most common mistakes of new game studios are actually quite exactly what I was just talking about. I would say like being all over the place without any focus or idea. I mean, of course, usually young game studios start from the fact that you love games and you want to do a specific game, and then it either works out or it doesn't. But like changing platforms and business models and everything, like every second game, it doesn't really allow you to learn from it. So I think sort of like making more sort of firm decisions about what you want to do and how you want to do it, and then figuring out if that works. And usually it doesn't really, it's not really enough if you do one game and then you, okay, no, free to play didn't work for me, I'll do premium now. No, premium didn't work for me, I'll do consoles now. So it's very like a lot of the time, we see studios that don't really understand how they are going to grow. So a lot, it's easier if you are if you have chosen either a genre or an IP or a target group or a region or like something that you see that you can turn into your unique selling point. If you're just doing like a game that is like any other mass market game, and then you do a different one that is completely different, then you can't really take the lessons that you learned from the first one and put it in the second one if it's completely different. So you need to figure out how you learn, how you grow. And I'm not at all saying that you need to stick with the first game that you make. I think it's very healthy to let things go if you see that they're not working, but then think about how you can take what you learned and try to make the next one based on that. At the end of the day, Game Founders is still an investment fund. So, as any other investment funds, we invest money and we take equity share. And we do expect at some point, at least some of the companies, to grow enough so that we can get some return on our investment. So, in that sense, our own business model is a lot like any other venture capital fund. Except that we do smaller investments, but and we also do a lot of strategic advice on the side. So why did we do Game Founders? Was that we wanted to work with young studios, but we didn't really see the like we couldn't find the format that the regular accelerators, let's say the tech accelerators, we couldn't see them helping the game studios enough because still, the whole business of building games is a content business, so it's not a technology business. In that sense, there was a lot of innovation that needed to be done inside the accelerator model. So we took the technology accelerator model and we sort of modified it to fit game studios. And because nothing like that was really happening on the global level with the investment and also mentoring program, then it was a very good opportunity for us and has been so far. It's always very difficult to work with friends. I mean, it's easier if it's lifestyle business and you are all doing whatever you want to do in the company. And maybe you are even earning money actually on other jobs and you're just doing it on the side. But as soon as it turns into a company, it's a bit difficult. So I have been in a number of companies with friends, different friends. And I would say my advice is while you are starting up, when you are still very good friends, do make agreements on what will happen if somebody leaves, what will happen if things don't work out, what will happen if things do work out. So it's always very good. Like, you don't have to do a formal, like, hire a lawyer and do like a shareholders agreement, but you should still do a shareholders agreement amongst yourself. Like, what happens if, like, who gets to keep the IP? If somebody leaves, how is the revenue shared? If there is no revenue, who covers the cost? If sort of like all of the options, and it's very good to talk about that when you're still all starting and you're all excited and nobody plans to leave, because it's very, very difficult to have these discussions with your friends, especially once the situation emerges. So I would say, like, be careful and plan ahead. And if you plan for the worst, it never happens. That's the Murphy law for you. So go with that. So that's it for me. It was nice talking to you guys, although it's only virtually. I'm very happy to say that during the last few years, we have received a lot of really strong applications from Brazil, and currently we are working with a number of Brazilian teams. So I have high hopes to have more good teams from the Brazilian market. So you are all welcome to go to gamefounders.com and subscribe to our newsletter so that you would know when the next deadline is, or just keep an eye on the website and apply next time. So I'll be looking for you in the applications.